Here we go. Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Man, I love the sound of that music. This is Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here. I should start not telling y'all where I'm broadcasting from, because maybe then y'all will listen even more. The mystique of it all. Where is King at today? But ladies and gentlemen, as you guys know, this is my closeout show. This is our closeout show. Greg, I hope you're in the background with us. And this is our Friday. So Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, I get to dress down. The team lets me dress down on, this is Dress Down Thursday. And I am really, really excited about what we're going to bring to you tonight. You know, some of y'all have been pivoting, and you've been pivoting in a circle. Well, I'm bringing somebody to y'all that's going to help you pivot in a clear direction. After running corporate events for years, Steve went out on his own after 6 years ago. He did this 6 years ago. And his mission was to build live events that changed lives. What's up, VP? He poured his life savings into his first event, which got him 2 total registrants. Brokenhearted and distressed, he went back to the drawing board. The lesson here was not about what you know how to do, but how you market it. Steve went on to learn everything he could about marketing, filling events, and selling from the stage. Over the next several years, he was trained by some of the best in the business, including Russell Brunson, Frank Kern, Dan Kennedy, just to name a few. He went on to hold 45, ladies and gentlemen, 45 live events and speak on more than 80 live events worldwide, including Harvard Business Summit. And this is why I get so pumped, because we bring people on this show that are making an impact. You're going to be impacted tonight. Those of you out there trying to find your way in your business, those of you trying to struggle to see, okay, can I survive in the virtual marketplace? I brought to you a literal expert, the man, the myth, and legend, Mr. Steve Warner. Welcome, Steve.
King, thank you so much. That is the best intro ever. I'm so excited to be here. We are going to have so much fun tonight.
Steve, I'm just telling you, bro. I guess he got my blood pressure up, ladies and gentlemen, in our pre-show. The pre-show went by in like 30 seconds. We gave each other 15. I probably needed another 30 to be with him. Steve, listen, before we get started, I got to make sure that I see where everything is happening. Greg, in our live environment, I know you probably got his website already up, but I just want to make sure that I can see it. Yes, there it is. And so, Steve, before we get into the nuts and bolts of you, what you and I are going to banter about and talk about tonight and help people, tell people how they can connect and contact you.
Sure. Facebook Messenger is probably the best. I know you're going to put that in the notes down below. Stephen Philip Warner is my business page. You can also email me at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at reachingmillions.co. That is my email address. That will come to my box. My assistant might read it as well. But you can get stuff there. If you want to know how to give an impactful presentation, deathtobadwebinars.com will get you a free class. deathtobadwebinars.com.
Oh, man, that's a good one. I love that. deathtobadwebinars.com. Greg, you think you can fit all that in the chat, bro? That's powerful. I missed that one, man. So Steve at Reaching Millions, and also the site that I have, Steve, I just want to make sure that I have a shortened version instead
Steve
of
Steve.how.
Yeah, Steve.how. Is that good too?
That will work.
Okay.
So www.steve, steve.how. I bought all the .hows.
Yeah.
Like I bought everything I could.
I love it, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, the voice that you're hearing, for those of you that are on our podcast, the man is not talking to me on some little Mickey Mouse microphone. Listen at the quality and richness of his voice. This is what I've been trying to tell y'all. We got to step our game up. So I'm joined again in the virtual studios with my friend Steve Warner. And where do you hail from, Steve?
Well, so that's a long story. I live in Airbnbs. When I was doing live events, I held live events all over the country, and I had a really nice condo in Vail, Colorado, 20 steps from the ski lift. The problem was that I spent less than 100 days a year there because I was on the road so much.
Right.
So in 2016, I went on the road full time, started living in Airbnbs, even during COVID, I was in Phoenix, Flagstaff, and Sedona. And then in March of this year, I came to Reno, which is where I am right now. It smells like a campfire because there are some fires up by Lake Tahoe, but the city is great.
Oh man, you're not in danger of any of those approaching your area, right?
No. But it looks like Armageddon outside. I mean, it's like really? Foggy and dingy, and it just smells like a campfire. But we're okay. I feel really bad. Lake Tahoe, if you've ever been there, is gorgeous. Probably it's the deepest non-man-made lake in the world. It's gorgeous, and all the woods around it right now are on fire. So,
oh my goodness,
we don't have to talk about that though.
Yeah, that's something, man. You know, when you talk about, we just had a moment of silence earlier today, just thinking about all the tragedies that have gone on around the world. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by my friend and marketing guru, Mr. Steve Warner. And I guess we'll just say he's from out west right now. Do you ever come to North Carolina? You ever come this way?
Yeah. I was in North Carolina about a year and a half ago, maybe okay. 2 years ago.
Okay.
We were in Corolla.
Yeah, I know where all that's at. Yeah.
Flew into some airport there. I can't remember. Raleigh.
Yeah, that's it's about 2 hours from me. So, Steve, listen, we have so much to get through, and we're probably just already get it in your mind that we're going to do some follow-up shows together, because I was telling Steve that, you know, for those of us that had got, you know, force fed into this marketplace, this digital virtual world, we thought we were coming out on the other end. I told him, man, my live events are picking back up and I'm actually doing some in-person stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is behind us. And then bam, we done got hit again. And so what I was talking to one of our team members, Danny Smith, I said, man, listen, we thought this virtual piece was just a moment in time, but really I feel like it's here to stay. What do you feel about that, Steve?
So I think moving forward, a couple things are going to happen. Even once COVID wraps up and we go back to normal, quote, normal, whatever that is, right?
Right.
Once we go back to that, I think so many people have gotten used to either working from home, attending events from home. A lot of them are going to do that. Live events, people want live events. We held a live event about 6 weeks ago, and the turnout was less than normal still. But the people who were there were so hungry for it. They were like hugging, like we're all hanging out. They're like, we don't [S2] Right. [S1] Want to go anywhere. We all went to dinner. Then we went and had drinks after dinner. And like, sometimes you do that at an event, right? Even [S2] Right. [S1] As a speaker, it was my event. yeah. Even as a speaker, I was like, yeah, let's go have some more drinks. So it's like midnight and I got to be back there at 7 a.m. to get the whole party started again. And I was like, well, I guess this is how we're going. But what I think is going to happen moving forward, I think we will still have the live events. I think the people that want to come to them will still come, but mm-hmm. some percentage, maybe 20%, maybe 30% will stay at home. They're not going to want to get on a plane. They have kids. They have a life. They have all the stuff going on. They're going to still attend. They'll still buy the ticket. But I think moving forward, hybrid events, virtual and live, will be a much bigger thing. And then I think smaller live events for like your really like high ticket, super consumer type, like they want it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a luxury.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you can build it smaller. Tony Robbins did this. If you've been watching his stuff, mm-hmm. so like Platinum, his high-end group, he still did a live event. You could come, but it was, I want to say it was $20,000 or $25,000, if I remember correctly. So it's not cheap.
Pocket change for Greg Smith, but not for me.
Well, I mean, there anyone in Platinum, Platinum's $100,000 to
right.
be part of,
right?
They're going to spend the money. They got their own. So the way they set it up, if you've been to a meeting hall, they each got their own 8-foot table with a ventilation system. Like, I mean, it was set up, but that's right. what you had to do, but people still paid for it. So I think we'll see that model continue into the future. I could be wrong, but I think so many people are just used to doing the live events. If you look in like a parallel, as far as the job market, I think 50% of jobs are now going to be work from home at least part time.
Yes. And I can see that. I see that in many people and entities that I work with. Steve, before we get to the commercial break, man, give us kind of a layout so we can come back and unpack this more. You were in the corporate world And what caused you to leave the corporate world?
Well, when I was in college, I had started a business. I did well, but I got super burned out. I was in college full time. I was working a gazillion hours. So I sold it, graduated, traveled for 2 years. I ended up working in the restaurant industry. I thought I was going to be a bartender. I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm chilling. I got some money in the bank. But I'm not the kind of person that can just be an employee. So I ended up running that place. Then I got headhunted to run a large fine dining program in Colorado. So I was out there and I woke up one day. I'd been doing it for about 5 years and I woke up and I was like, how the did I get here? Like, this was not the plan for my life. As much as I like it, this is not my plan. I said, what do I want to do? And I'd gone to a Tony Robbins event in 2013. And I was like, that's what got me thinking. I was like, I want to be on stages. I've done a few, I had spoke on a few stages in college, talked about entrepreneurship. And I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do. I'm sure I can figure it out. So like anyone, I just quit my job and jumped in. I moved to Las Vegas. I was like, I'm going to make this work. And I spent about $35,000 trying to hold my first event for 2,000 people. It was the Treasure Island Ballroom. It actually held 1,800. Mm. And I spent every penny I had trying to fill that room. And I got two people to buy. And that's when I realized it wasn't about like me speaking on stage. It was about being able to sell, because you have to put people, you have to put butts in seats, right?
Right, right.
So from there, I had really good friends in Vegas that to this day are still great friends of mine. They let me move into their utility room, a little 8-foot by 5-foot room. They said, it's yours as long as you take action. Because at this point, it was actually hard. I mean, maybe you've had this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know your backstory, but the universe started testing me because I started getting headhunting offers to go back into the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. I had one offer on the table for $125 a year to go manage a restaurant. And like, I'm sitting there with like literally $300 in my pocket, living in a utility room with a washer and dryer. And like, what do I want to do? And my friend said like, hey, you can stay here as long as you keep taking action towards moving forward. Mm. You're okay to stay here. Like, they weren't pressing me too hard, right, but they were like, you got to continue to work. So I went to the library. I'm an avid reader. I've always been a reader. We actually burned my television in 2000.
Okay.
Y2K.
Smart move.
I haven't had a TV since. So
all right.
I like to read. I grew up with two parents that were teachers, encouraged me to read. So I went to the library and I checked out pretty much the entire marketing department and just started tearing through books on marketing. And I ended up going to South Point Casino and I talked them into letting me reserve a room on a credit card that they didn't actually run, because if they would have ran it, it was maxed out. But I gave them the credit card to hold. So it was a small room. The room held 50 to 60 people. And it took me 6 weeks. I sold out the room. I oversold it. I sold 80 seats to that event. And that kind of started like the slow snowball moving forward.
Right.
By the end of the first year, I had held 3 events. I cleared about $40,000, which, I mean, you know how events go. I mean,
that's good in a utility room, I guess.
Yeah. It started moving, right. But then the second year we hit over 200, and really started to get things rolling. And I learned Dan Kennedy was my first mentor. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Dan is, if you Google him, he's like Bad Santa meets rockstar marketer. Mm-hmm. He was responsible. If you ever got those chain letters in the '80s, not chain letters, but like long form sales letter, like a 20 page letter, mm-hmm, selling you a $92, he would call it a Dumafludge.
Yeah.
That was Dan Kennedy. But he's grumpy old man. But he said, like, I went to see him, right? I was so excited. I was making some money. And he was like, you're an idiot. He like, I paid $200 to sit at his lunch table. And he's like, you're an idiot. When I told him my story, and I was like, what? He was like, the whole reason you want to be on stage and hold an event is to sell something. There are two ways you make a living as a speaker. I mean, you know this. Mm-hmm. You either take path A, which is get paid to be on stage. Right. You're getting paid for your knowledge, your entertainment value.
Right.
Or you build the event or pay to be on stage and you sell something at the back of the room. Mm-hmm. And Dan said, well, how much did you make at your last event? And I said, well, we cleared about, when it was all said and done, net profit, about 22,000, 23,000. And he said, well, my last event, we sold 1.4 million from stage. So which would you rather have? And I said, well, I was sitting there and he was like, the answer is B.
Right, right, yeah.
I was like, okay, so I was like, I don't have anything to sell. What do I sell? And he's like, I have a whole table of stuff over there. Pick one. And I was like, you're going to give it to me? He's like, no, you have to buy it. But he's like, everyone that you sell, I'll give you 40% of the sale price. So I started selling. The next event we held, I sold one of his $2,000 products. For every one that we sold, I made $800.
Nice.
That event, we cleared over 100K.
Really? Woo, man, ladies and gentlemen, I my ears are on fire. I'm joined in our virtual studios by Steve Werner. You can find him at, let me get the easier website for so I can remember, because he owns them all, the Dot Howes. Just go to steve.howe to connect with my friend. He is a, I'm just telling you, you're going to be blessed tonight on our show, to especially all of our entrepreneurs. We have a whole host of entrepreneurs. I'm going to share this with you guys because some people are frustrated, and he's going to help us walk through a couple different elements, i.e. speaking, storytelling, hosting events, how, you know, the anatomy behind those. That's really, 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 really important. But before we get to that point, you got to stay with us, because you got to hear a word from our sponsors. It won't take us but about a couple minutes. All right, here we go. We have got to tell you about our amazing sponsors on Impacting Life 24/7, because they help us reach the world every single day. Michelle Perry is the host of the Successful Diligence podcast and best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at SuccessfulDiligence.com. We're thankful that she is a gold sponsor. Paula Cousson is a gold sponsor, and she has dedicated her life to volunteering in community youth programs such as the Young Marines. Paula believes that the greatest asset each young person has is at least one caring adult in their life. Gregory Smith, he is a platinum sponsor. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy of his book today by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Adrienne Barker, she is a platinum sponsor, and she is the host of the Adrienne Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Please connect with Adrienne at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Mr. Mike Black is a platinum sponsor from New Bern, North Carolina. Mike helps men throughout Eastern Carolina find and lead a faith-filled life. He is also the co-host of Impacting Life 24/7. He is a compassionate leader in his church and a devoted father and husband. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is a platinum sponsor, and he is the executive director of the PRF Institute. He is the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity, and Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. Find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. Poet Katrina McCain, she is the author of Because She Decided to Love. This is a collection of poetry and prose about how love has impact on every relationship. Poet Katrina McCain is a platinum sponsor, and this book that she has detailed for us is a raw and uncut poetry ensemble that addresses themes of how we express love through loss, hurt, pain, and grief. Connect with her at poetkatrinamccain.com. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life 24/7, it's very simple. Just go to clkingspeaker.com. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Go to clkingspeaker.com. This is Impact Life 24/7. So thankful for our sponsors who help us in this mission of impacting one life one day at a time. And it provides the platform for us to do exactly what we're doing here tonight, and that is hosting a world-class man with a hat that is killer. You got to get me one of those hats, my friend. Clarity speaks volumes. Steve Werner, you can go to Steve. Steve.Howe. Am I right there? Because I done took my screen down. Okay, Steve.Howe. That it's got to be. It can't be any easier than that. Connect with him. He is a marketing, branding, planning facilitator, speaker. And what I asked him to do tonight is help us unpack some things that I know that people are struggling with. So, Steve, you told us how you kind of got started. And that first event that you did where you only booked a couple folks, that discouragement level, I mean, was that fuel to get you going harder, or did you feel absolutely deflated?
A little bit of both. So the day that I had to cancel the event, right, I went down to Treasure Island, and I remember, like, we got there, I got there early. And what happened is, I mean, you know this from holding events, they give you a room block. And so I had 100 hotel rooms that I was on the hook for. I had 100 hotel rooms. I had a 25K food and beverage package. And she called me, and we were 4 weeks before the event. And she said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, like, nobody has booked one of your hotel rooms. What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh gosh." Like,
oh, they're down at the Red Roof Inn.
Yeah. I was like, this is not, I mean, I've got two people registered. I just didn't think they were going to know. I was feeling that crunch, and I was like, I got to go down and tell her. So I went down and I had a discussion, and I said, look, I'm just going to be real honest. I thought I could fill it. I can't. I was like, your options are, you can sue me and I will file bankruptcy and you won't get anything, or you can keep my $5,000 that I already gave you down and we'll call it a wash. And she was like, well, I have to talk to my boss. Like, we're a casino. Like, I was like, I just hope they don't, you know, drag me outside and like break my knees or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Santana was going to come and take care of you, buddy.
Right. I was like, man, but she let me out of it. So I went down, we went down to the Frog Bar. If you're familiar with Treasure Island, it's like right off the side. And I remember there was a lady that was playing craps behind me, and she was screaming and yelling because she was winning all this money. And like, I was like, what do I want to do? And that at the time I was 36, and I was like, the restaurant, and this is what I told myself when I left the restaurant, those jobs will always be there. Like, maybe when I'm 60, 65, like, I might not be young enough, like, powerful enough, might not have my druthers to make something like that work. But I was like, you know what, right now I do. And the upside from it, being an entrepreneur, has, if you can stick to the game and you can stay in the game for 5 or 6 years, you will make more than the person that is in corporate America. But I'm not saying that it's sugarcoated, and it is dangerous, because if you don't make it, you end up with a lot of debt, a lot of heartache, and you're broken a little bit, but you can still go back to the real world. And I said, you know, that's, my friends offered the utility room. I said, you know what, that's fine. And I gave myself a year. I said, I will stay here for a year. If I can make one event work, yeah, I know if I can do one. Like, it's baby steps. Everything in life is baby steps. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right.
So I was like, if I can figure out how to do it once, I can then grow on that, and I know I can do it again. And how can I then take the next step? I think the biggest challenge I see facing entrepreneurs right now, I had this discussion last week with a client. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, I've been in this game for a year and I'm making $40,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, okay, did you go to college? She said, yeah. I said, okay, so you got out of college. How much did you make? She was a teacher. And she said, you know, my first year out, I made $37,000. I said, how much did you make your fifth year? She was like, maybe 45, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was like, how much did you make 10 years in? She was a teacher for 12 years. She's like, when I left teaching, I was making $58,000.
All right.
And I said, well, okay, so you went to school for 5 years.
Right.
To do that. Why do you think that you would start being an entrepreneur and in your first year make more than you made after teaching for 12 years after going to school? Right. I said, the difference is the timeline's the same, right? First 10 years, you're going to have your head down. You're going to be working. You're probably going to make, I don't know, let's say you make 80K a year. Like, I was like, you're making 40 right now, which is more than you made 1 year after being a teacher.
Right.
If you stick with it, the thing is, pretty much every job 99% of jobs are going to cap out at 100, maybe 120.
Right.
There are some jobs you can get that will pay more, but average income in the U.S. is $68,000.
That's right.
If you can stick with being an entrepreneur for 6 years, you will make more than that, because the upside to being an entrepreneur is uncapped. Once right. you own a business
right.
and you start and you figure it out, right? That's really what the game of entrepreneurship is. I don't care what you're selling. You right. can be selling a widget online. You can be selling services. You can be a consultant, right. whatever you're doing. Once you figure it out, and if you haven't read the E-Myth is what I mean by figure it out. It should be really clear. Mm-hmm. It is pulling yourself out of the business so that you are not a plumber who just works as a plumber, is really self-employed. He okay. still has that cap. But once you learn marketing, once you learn sales, and you pull yourself out of the business enough that the business starts to build a huge snowball over here, you make more money.
Mm, now, man, I can't leave with after that point, because that really has sparked my interest. When you say pull yourself out, what does that mean?
So, okay, if we're, let's just go back to plumber, electrician,
right.
We could say a consultant even, right? A consultant is when you are trading. What I mean by pull yourself out is if you are trading time for dollars, you are going to reach a cap.
Ah.
If you hire somebody to do stuff under you. So if the plumber pulls himself out enough and hires plumbers to work under him and becomes a business owner, he is now uncapped in his income potential.
Right. Right.
Now, this takes growth. Yeah. This takes doing stuff. And you're probably saying, how does this relate to speaking?
Oh, yeah,
well, speaking, at the end of the day, if you are just getting paid to be on stage, you can make a very good living.
Mm-hmm.
You can make 250 to a million pretty good once you've been doing it for a little while.
Right. And of course, as you guys know, I'm knocking on the door of that. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, that's no, I mean, that's perfect. I mean,
I'm teasing, man.
Okay. If you're, I mean, most people that I know that do speaking do
right.
pretty well.
Right.
The way that you unplug yourself in your speaking business, one, you have somebody going out looking for speaking gigs for you. That is a job that costs $15 to $20 an hour. You can have somebody booking, doing all the follow-up, doing all of that stuff. Number two, you sell something on the back end. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be selling at the event. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to drive people to the back of the room. But as a speaker who speaks on stages, people know, like, and trust you instantly. They're connecting with you because you're in front of them. You're not somebody that's on TV. Right. You're not somebody that's online. You're not somebody that they're reading a book. You are in front of them. They right. know, like, and trust you. If you sell them something on the back end, a lot of speakers have a book. The good speakers have a book and a program and a high-end program. Mm. If you send people through that, I have a mastermind right now that's $25,000. How many people do I have to put in that and serve to make $1 million?
Oh, you're 35. You're asking me to do the math. I'm just like,
you're five. But yeah, I mean, like, think right. about.
So you said 25K.
Yeah.
Is it's your
35
mastermind.
People.
Right, right. Okay.
If I speak in front of 35,000, that's one person per thousand that has to ascend to that level. Do you think, I mean, this is all numbers.
Right.
And I know a lot of people out there are like, how do I even get there? Start speaking. Just start going and speaking. Like, we're going to get into the whole
right.
speaking
right.
here in a second. But the go, like, don't, I want you to forget that I said $1 million. I want you to think of 50,000. 75,000. Replace the income. How much better would your life be if, instead of getting up, sitting down in a computer and doing whatever you do for work right now, how much better would your life be if you got up, shared your message with somebody, drank some coffee, and talked to people you like talking to and got paid the same amount of money? Don't focus on $1 million. That's where everybody gets heartbroken. The right. lady I was talking about last week, that's where she was heartbroken. She would just focus on replacing her $65,000 a year teaching job with a job that she liked doing. You'll eventually double that income, triple that income, and go up.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, my goodness, man, my head is on fire, because it's not because it's complicated, but one of the things that I took away from there, and you guys will, I hope you picked it up. He talked about the staying or the resiliency or staying the course. And you got to give yourself some grace in that season, because, you know, a lot of times people like Steve, you know, you were in the corporate world and you get out and you expect, you know, corporate money after your first couple events or your first even year, and you're not seeing it. And then people get frustrated, and they you know, Steve, you probably know this and probably have envisioned this, that there are so many people working in jobs that they're not happy with. They have dreams and visions of doing something else, but because of the security of the job, they never leave.
Golden handcuffs. Golden handcuffs. So I mean, absolutely. My advice to anyone doing that, and this takes, like, you got to dig. This is, okay, I'm going to start somewhere different, but stay with me.
Okay.
I want you to picture a sliding scale. At the bottom is a 0. At the top is a 10. This is a success in life. I'm on fire. 10 is I am jazzed. I get out of bed. I'm excited. I can't wait to meet the day.
Bam.
1 is I'm like just about ready to flatline. Yeah. I'm like in pain and suffering.
Right.
So there have been several studies done on this. Most people, if you're at between a 4 and an 8, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're in mediocrity, uh-huh. Right? Like you're in the mediocre stage. Like you're a 5, you're not happy. You're not thrilled with life, but you're not in enough pain to change. You're not hurting enough. You come home, you probably go to the bar, you have a couple drinks, maybe you smoke some weed, like you relax, but you're like, you play video games, right? People play video games, or they're in like some other world. They binge watch 5 hours of TV a day because they're trying to, I need to relax. I need to not do that thing over there. One of my friend's mom came home every night and she would drink a bottle of wine. Like a bottle of wine, watching QVC, playing Candy Crush, right? And I'm like, and she's, I like, you know that people are like this.
Right,
so they're at like that 4, 5, 6, like they're not in enough pain.
Right.
The people who hit an 8 or a 9, that's like you're like Mark Cuban, Gary Vaynerchuk, like they've hit the peak and they're so jazzed, they are never going to let themselves fall into, they might hit a 7 once in a while, but they're never going to be down at like a 5. Because entrepreneurs, what I found, did you watch, are you a basketball fan?
I am. Of course, Golden State Warriors is the only basketball team in the world, but go ahead.
Did you watch The Last Dance, Michael
Jordan? I surely did. Watched every episode.
Oh my goodness. Such a good show. So yeah. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I am a fan of excellence.
Yes.
And what Michael Jordan said, and everybody that I've interviewed on my podcast, we've had like all successful entrepreneurs, we want the ball. Like the last second of the game.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
We want the ball. Like we want that pressure because that, like we know we can handle it. Whether we win or lose in that second doesn't matter, but I'm not going to trust anyone else to do it.
Right.
And that's like, that's the Gary Vaynerchuk. That's the Mark Cubans. That's the Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Like they're at an 8, 9, or 10 and they want that. And like, if they ever start to fall down, they find a place to put pressure on themselves to perform better. If you remember, Michael Jordan made up stories in his head about his opponents talking trash about him,
mm-hmm.
because it drove him so hard. Like to me, that's, I mean, I like, I half of me applauds that. And half of me is like, even that's a little bit crazy, bro.
Dude's like psychotic, isn't he?
Right. I mean, he was playing quarters, pitching quarters against the wall in the locker room with his security guards for $20. This is a guy that's worth $1 billion with a B, and he wouldn't let them win. He was like, I'm gonna break them. I'm gonna take every this to the camera.
Right.
I'm gonna take every penny they have because I am the best at pitching quarters. Like, What?
Well, see, and what we're going to talk about when we get back, ladies and gentlemen, I told you this show was going to be too short for the amount of volume that Steve Warner brings. You can find him at steve.how. I'm telling you what, he has really changed, even just in my short amount of time with him. The first time I met him, I was at the poolside in our pre-interview. I said, Steve, I promise you I'm a professional, man. I'm sorry, bro. but really just thinking about, okay, you know, immediate results versus long-term versus what work do I need to put in? How can I really set myself up for success? And Steve, I'm telling you what, brother, you are speaking the language that the people on this and our audience want to hear. Now, one of the things that people say is, well, why do you do a live component of the show? Because it is a podcast. And I don't get caught up in anymore. I used to freak out about the Facebook Live numbers, bro. And I know Facebook algorithms are all different and all that kind of stuff. And I used to get depressed if I didn't see. But I said I wanted to have a live component of the show because I wanted to feel that pressure. Like, you know, in a studio yeah. version, you can just go back and edit and fix it and all that. That's not here, ladies and gentlemen. When we're finished, Steve gets the final package. And I'm just like, there is pressure associated with this because I'm always messing it up. I'm going to share our screen real quick for those of you watching live. And the reason why we do that is because I forgot to share it the first time. Steve got me all jacked up. And we're going to share with you the second half about our sponsors. And then we'll get right back to Steve. Every time you hear Impacting Life 24/7, it is brought to you in part by our amazing sponsors. Donald Skip Mondragon II, MD, is a platinum sponsor, and he is a 26-year Army veteran, National Veterans Wrestling Champion, a speaker, and author. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps, Lessons Learned from an Amateur Wrestler's Fight to Triumph Over Depression. Contact him and book him today at WrestlingIsNotForWimps.com. The Underdog Ninja Foundation are platinum sponsors. This was founded in 2020 by Javi and Jessica Madrigal, a husband and wife team that have been battling and overcoming heart disease for 18 years. Their personal story and experiences have led them to follow the calling of empowering, educating, and supporting those fighting heart disease. They have a remarkable platform and a dynamic story. Contact this amazing team at underdogninja.org. Belinda Tyson Linder has spent decades investing in people from all different backgrounds. She is a platinum sponsor. She has led inner city programs for disadvantaged youth, as well as being a mentor to young adults, married couples, individuals facing adversity. Belinda and her husband have built multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses and have trained leaders on having tenacity and character. Ultimately, Belinda cares about people. Bettina Carey is a platinum sponsor. Bettina Carey is a 4'9½" Latina. She inspires and empowers women to create big results. They shatter their earning ceiling, kick self-imposed limitations to the curb, and live their legacies now. Whether she's coaching from a live or virtual stage or conferencing with a small cohort of bold women or men on the rise across from a conference table, her championship strategies and straight talk compel women and men to find their whole new gear and succeed beyond their wildest imaginations. Connect with Bettina today at weempoweryourlife.com. You've heard it here, folks. All of these people help us with Impacting Life 24/7. If you would like to join them, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to clkingspeaker.com. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Just go to clkingspeaker.com if you want to connect with us. And I am joined by this dude is just blowing my mind today, Steve Warner. I'm so thankful that he's taking time out of his very, very busy schedule. High demand speaker, high demand coach, trainer, leader in that industry. And so let's just dive right into it. Steve, if you want to connect with him, I'm asking everybody that listens to the show, whether you listen to our podcast on the 27 different platforms and or you're watching us live, go to steve.how. And he's got some really free, cool ways to connect with him. Man, I'm telling you, I already signed up for some of the stuff. Tell us about a couple of those things real quick, Steve, before I forget. I know you, I have them in front of me if you don't have them.
Sure, no problem. I got them. Okay. The first one is deathtobadwebinars.com. If you're trying to hold webinars, if you are doing trainings online and you want to know how to get people more engaged, if you want to have people pay attention to you and you want to sell something at the end, it is a 5-part free course. So it is 5 videos, 5 worksheets, and 3 templates to help you get started with webinars, help you crank up the aperture on your webinars. Mm. The other one that I have for you is the Story Selling Blueprint. So sales is a really interesting thing, right? One of the things I hear all the time is I want to sell stuff, but I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to push onto people. So the Story Selling Blueprint, it is storyselling.how. Remember I told you about all the hows?
He bought all the hows, ladies and gentlemen.
storyselling.how. That is a 3-part free template that will show you how to build stories that frame your services so that people understand what you do, see you as the authority, and lean in before you ever make an offer to them.
Mm. Now, stories. Let's unpack that. How do you help someone frame? Well, let me ask this a couple different ways. What would you consider a bad story or a bad way to deliver it?
Yeah, sure. First off, people love, like, if you've ever been at a cocktail party and you're like walking around and you see a realtor come up to you, you know they're a realtor, you can like smell they're a realtor, and then they start right off and they either tell you like, hey, do you have a house for sale? Or hey, let me tell you about this person who sold their house and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh my goodness, like, here, hold my drink, I'm running. The things that make a bad story. Mm-hmm. So the first one that makes a bad story is not using descriptions. Think about Stephen King, or think about your favorite author, think about your favorite movie. Mm-hmm. The best movies have great characters and great environments. If you look at books, books always start off as descriptive, right? Yeah, right. So if we go back to my story, I was sitting at the bar in Treasure Island. I had a half-drank Manhattan in front of me. I had a melted hot fudge sundae that was dripping off the side of the plate. I could hear some lady behind me screaming and she's throwing the dice. She's winning thousands of dollars. At least she sounds like she is. And then I can hear the slot machines, ching, ching, ching. Like, you guys are transported there with me. That is the start of a great story. Every chapter in any great book starts with descriptions because it brings people in. But a lot of people tell stories, they make them really short because there's no drama. They don't add in any curiosity. They don't add in descriptions. So curiosity, pain points, descriptions. Those are the first 3 things that make a great story. Those are like your bread, flour, water when you're mixing up some muffins.
Oh, that's powerful, man. Do you teach this in a more one-on-one session?
I do. So I actually hold workshops on this every other month. So if you go to ultimateofferworkshop.com, you will see we have one coming up in, that is not the dot how, that is coming up in October. I do a workshop and my one-on-one clients. So a good webinar or a good stage presentation, they're interchangeable. Right. The reason that I'm good at webinars is because I took what we did on the stage and I modded it just a little bit to make it fit online better. A good stage presentation, if you're on stage for an hour, you should have at least 20 stories in your presentation. Ooh. Some of them are really short. Some of them are 30 seconds, but you should have, there are 3 major ones that you need. So the first one is your hero's journey story. This is how you earned it or learned it. You guys know mine because I shared it with you before the break. Right. I went to a Tony Robbins event. I felt like my life was not going in the direction that I wanted it to. I quit my job. I moved to Las Vegas. I tried to hold an event. Failed pretty miserably. Like, that's my hero's journey. You guys know that story.
Right.
So everybody needs a good hero's journey story. The second one is you need parables. So parables I mean, if you know the Bible, right. The Bible is the full of parables.
Right.
Why has it withstood through the ages over and over? I mean, besides being the word of God, it's parables. People can easily relate to every one of the parables and see the lesson in it. So when you, being in Western culture, if we tell somebody something, hey, bro, you need to lose weight. What? You get like the nice finger, right? Like you get walls going up all over the place. But even a little bit different, even if you know you need something, mm-hmm. right? You could be looking. What happens when you walk into a store, right? We haven't walked into a store in a while, but you walk into a clothing store. What happens? Somebody comes up to you. Hey, can I help you out with anything? No, I'm good, man. Even if you want to buy something, you might be looking for a size XL and you can't find it. And they come up and talk to you. No, I'm good.
Right.
So the minute you tell somebody something, see, that's a story. Just in case you guys didn't catch this,
right.
You step out of the thing. That right there, that's right. A 30-second little parable story that frames what I'm teaching.
Let me just interject real quick, because, man, you got let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there is virtually a hamster running around inside my brain trying to make this thing slow down, because Steve got me all fired up about, really, I might just revamp my whole self after tonight talking to Steve Werner. Steve.Howe is how you connect with him. He talked about parables, and I have always... I can't remember. We've lost count. Upwards around 300 speeches. I have always used something as the backdrop. I just gave a keynote speech. Every Monday we try to do something motivational. And mm-hmm. so I gave a keynote speech about the arch. And there was this place in this blue hole in Egypt. And why so many people die is because they're lured to the arch. And that was the title of my speech. But the arch was not actually the arch. The arch, I was talking to young people about the lure of drugs. And they couldn't help it. So many divers went down there. They thought they could make it. They thought they could do it. They had enough air. And it always caught them by surprise, and 200 people have died there. So parables are powerful. And you just see, he affirmed, ladies and gentlemen, that King halfway knows what he's doing. Parables are powerful when you're trying to connect with people. One other thing that I know I'm just all over the place, but listen to me. I seen on your website where you said people who introduce themselves and they give all of their credentials, that's an immediate turnoff, correct?
Immediately. Because if you walk up to somebody, I mean, I don't know, if you're listening to this, you've probably done a networking event online sometime in the last year.
Right.
And what happens? You get in the room, there's four of you, there's six of you. You're all supposed to have a minute to talk about who you are, what you do.
Right.
And there's that person that they start talking and they're like, I'm amazing. I do this. I do that. I went to this school. Their time is up and they just keep talking and somebody's trying to mute them and they're just blah, 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 blah. Do you want to do anything with them?
No.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. So the thing that I say, like when you first meet somebody, they're asking themselves three questions. What does this person want? Is it somebody that I want to interact with? Those are like the two big ones, right? Why am I here? Even in a networking group, you're like, even you're more like, do I really want to give this person any time?
Right.
And if you start right away talking about yourself and your credentials, people are, it's just Western culture. We're like, it's the same way when you try to tell somebody something, a wall goes up. But if you tell a story or if you ask them a question that engages them, you have now done what's called a state break and you've pulled them out of their bubble and got them out of being worried, right? Back in the day, I mean, King, when you were growing up, did you used to have telemarketers call the house on like 7 p.m., right? The phone would ring, you pick it up. And like they'd be trying to sell. I took all those calls. My mom hated it.
Right,
oh
right,
no,
right.
Don't answer the phone.
I'll take They're it. Like, but
it's ringing. I'm gonna answer it. And they would start. They would never start with, "Hey, this is Bill from AT&T. I'm calling to sell you long distance."
Right.
Because what would you do?
Click. Hang up. Right.
Right. It said, "Hey, how was your day? What'd you have for dinner?" Like they start asking questions. So if you're in a networking group or if you're on stage, start with a story. 100% give a testimonial of some, like, start with your story, start with a testimonial of somebody who got the result that your audience wants. That gets them excited because they're like, oh my goodness, this person helped that person get what I want. It works really, really well for coaches. Mm-hmm. The other thing, when you're networking, what's in it? They're there asking, what is in it for me? Like, what is in it for me, the listener? If I'm in a Zoom room, I'm probably going to be really selfish about, like, I want my turn.
Right.
And if when somebody else is talking, I'm like, well, what's in it for me?
Right.
So I start mine really easily. You've heard mine. I say, hey, guys, what's going on? Who in here has been on a webinar in the last 6 months? Everybody raises their hand. And then I say, who in here has fallen asleep on a webinar in the last 6 months? Well, my name's Steve Warner. In the last 6 months, I've helped more than 22 entrepreneurs build webinars that engage people. And we've done more than 3.8 million in cumulative sales. If you have some questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
And I hold up the mic and I say, mic drop.
But I mean, but what did I do?
Right.
I mean, I agree. Right, and right, I appreciate,
right,
I appreciate it. But like, in 90 seconds, I have the four or six people in the room asking me rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? How do you get people to your webinars? What should I do for my webinar? Should the webinar be pre-recorded? Should it be longer? Should it be shorter? And well, what do you think happens when I have people rapid firing questions? Do you think I answer them?
You drive them to another place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Answer one or two. And you know what, guys, my time is just about up. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to step on your toes.
Right.
Here's my email. Here's my Calendly link. Let's just go ahead and we'll jump on a 20-minute call. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions. I'll be happy to walk you through anything you need help with. It works so well to fill up my calendar. I know this has nothing to do with public speaking.
It's okay, brother. It's rich.
It works so well. So think about that. It's not, if I led with, I mean, I could probably lead with, you know, I've helped 22 entrepreneurs in the last 6 months build a webinar that has done millions of dollars. That's going to get some interest. But what's the first thing that happens when somebody tells you something? Your brain starts to ask questions. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, well, is this person telling me the truth? Do I believe that? Is that going to help me? I bet he works with people that aren't like me. I'm a health coach. I bet he only helps bankers. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all the excuses, because that's what we're trained to do subconsciously as we grow up as a protection device. We ask questions that discount things, right? They're protection questions. When you lead with something that does a state break, it's honestly, this goes back to Tony Robbins. Have you ever been to a Tony Robbins event?
I've watched them. I haven't been yet.
Okay. So one, as soon as this is over, hit me up. I will take you to an event.
Yes, sir.
My word.
We'll do it, brother.
I will take you. I try to buy a ticket for everybody every year. Because it's been so powerful in my life. He right. does state breaks every 8 minutes. He makes you get up, you jump around, you give the person next to you a massage, because it keeps you engaged in what he is doing.
Right.
And that's the same thing that you're doing here. Like state breaks, describing something. If I break right now and I'm like, oh my God, it is so smoky outside. Like it's dingy. I can hardly see anything. And it smells like a campfire. You're all like, what?
Yeah.
Now you're listening.
Right.
Now I just go, I can go right back in to talking about speaking.
Now, Lord have mercy, guys. Could you believe it's 9:25, Greg? Greg says, this is amazing. I'll be watching this over and over. I've tagged a couple speakers that I collaborate with, and Art and Art Patrice. I want you guys to really go back and listen to this. This gentleman, and connect with him, please. Steve Warner. All you got to go is to steve.howe. An amazing, amazing. Listen, I've been speaking for, I can't even remember how long I've been, and I don't usually get wowed by other speakers until today. So you did your job, Steve. And one thing that I would like to do, let's try to pull this out, man. We got like 6 minutes. We might can go over a few. That elevator speech, you know that? Because you kind of were describing that a little bit. Like if you're in a room or if you get an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? That let's say you're not the main speaker at an event, right? And I struggled with this early on in my speaking career because I was so intimidated. Like if I would talk to a superintendent, you know, these are educated folks and you want to try to get everything that appeals to them. So how do you craft that good, like you say, 90-second interaction? Like you say, you frame it on stories just like you just described.
Absolutely. I usually, it depends if it's one-on-one. So we're saying it's an elevator speech. It's not a networking event, right?
Right.
If I'm meeting somebody, like I get a few seconds with them, I'll usually try to figure out what they want, what would make their life better, because that's what they're really going to care about, right? Why is somebody talking to me? What would really make their life better? Whether they know what I can give them or not, what's going to improve their life? And then I'm going to ask them some questions right away. So this is a really powerful idea. Whoever asks the questions is leading the conversation. So if I'm having a discussion, even if it's with somebody, right?
Yeah.
That is more powerful than me.
Right.
If I can get them to start answering my questions, I now control where the conversation is going. So through doing that, I can, and I'm not doing it to be manipulative like a mean way at all. But if I start asking hey King, I know you're a speaker. Are you struggling right now or online? How's that going for you? And I might be vulnerable and say, I've had two events cancel in the next 6 weeks. And things are different. Like I'm working online. I'm working really hard. How's it going for you? Now I've brought you in. And when you start answering, if I can add value, not try to sell, if I can add value, and here's the clincher, it has to be an open loop. So an open loop means that I add value, but there's more value beyond it. So if I tell you, King, I hear you, man. I've found this way that I'm speaking online and I'm not having to pay to be on stages. I'm not getting paid to be there, but I am allowed to sell stuff. And it's led to, I'm doing 30,000 a month through that. It's a little bit different. What do? You lean in.
Yeah. I'm because
that's really interesting, right? An elevator pitch,
right?
Should no longer be a pitch. The other thing, if you guys have not read, Pitch Anything, I think is what it's called. Hang on. I got it on my shelf. Why can't I find it?
He's looking for Pitch Anything on his shelf, ladies and gentlemen.
It's up there somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's the guy wrote two books. One is called Pitch Anything and the other is Flip the Script. Mm-hmm. The guy is a professional pitch man that builds pitch decks for multi-million dollar mergers. And they're really well-written books. I would highly recommend them. But he teaches in Pitch Anything, he teaches what is called a splash reel. And it's what you deliver after they lean in a little bit. Then is when you can say something that points to authority. So my splash reel was, after you leaned in the last 6 months, I've helped 22 entrepreneurs build webinars that have done more than $3.8 million in sales without hard pitch techniques through using stories. We build 20 to 30 stories per webinar that get people engaged. They love being there. They turn their cameras on. They're interacting with you. And at the end of the day, we have about a 30% close rate. That's people who hear that are like, yes, I want what you're doing. And they didn't see it coming because I didn't lead with it. If I led with that, if I
they'd be started turned off.
Right away, mm-hmm. right. But once they lean in and they've said oh, I want to hear more about that. Subconsciously, once they say that, you have an open door, you get about 30 seconds that you can say something before they will turn you off.
And you talk about that on your website. You talk about that moment where people lean in, getting them to, and you guys kind of visualize that. Like when you say something, it's like, oh, okay. Because you know what? This happened with ADT when we bought our palatial ranch here several years ago. I was out cleaning out the SUV as I normally do, and this lady in some blue costume shows up. I was not interested. I don't like people. I don't like door-to-door salespeople. I'm a people person on my terms, and it wasn't that moment. But she must have got trained by Steve Warner, ladies and gentlemen, because I was grumpy, it was hot, and I didn't want to be bothered. But what she did disarmed me, and guess what? A few minutes later, I was signing the ATT contract.
She give you some iced tea? Was she like, what'd she do?
She showed me why I needed ADT. She showed me the value that would add to my family. And I that's why I took it. I mean, I'm not sponsoring ADT unless they're gonna send me a check. But the way she did it, it was short. I was kind of rude, but she got me to lean in. You know what I mean? That was the thing.
That's the whole thing. And I want to be really clear. Like, you could use this stuff and be really manipulative with it. That's not my goal. Like, right. At the end of the day, what can you tell somebody that makes their life better?
Right.
Have you guys enjoyed listening to this? Has this been fun? I think that it has. I mean, you and I have had fun, right?
Yeah. Bettina Carey says, this is an awesome interview. You two collectively are dynamite. So
I love it.
Bettina Carey up there in Seattle, Washington, man. Yeah, this has been unbelievable. Would you guys like to have him back? I'm telling you, I just want to, Greg says 100. Arthur says, yes, sir. For me to be speechless, and I'm a speaker, you know, that's a tough task because I'm always running my mouth. I really do feel like you have added. I mean, we just tipped the spear, man. We got to get into, because I know some folks that are trying to, do you help coaches too? Help them structure their coaching world?
Yeah, that's the back end. So we build, so the point where we start a webinar, we start with the offer,
right?
So the offer is usually somewhere between $397 and $1,997, mm-hmm. but you've got to have a place to ascend people after that. The real money in coaching and consulting is having a big back-end deal that is 6 months to a year long. Oh, but wow. You can't just start somebody off there because most people are not going to buy because they don't know, like, and trust you, and they shouldn't.
Right.
You start with a lower price offer that is somewhere a couple weeks long. I don't sell courses. I sell done with yous that are 6 weeks. So we'll work together for 6 weeks to do something to build out your hero's journey. You'll, by the end of that, you'll know whether you like working with me.
Right.
Cause in the very beginning of my career, I sold a gentleman that was a doctor on working with me for a year. Let me tell you, by week four, I hated showing up to that call.
You was done with him, wasn't you?
I don't think he really liked me either, to be fair, because we were from very different worlds and we had different opinions on things. But he had paid me, I think he paid me $28,000, if I remember correctly, in 2015. And I was like, I'm not giving any of that money back. Like, we're going to sit here and figure this out. And he was like, well, I'm going to get value from this. So we just, like, we worked together. I mean, we worked together for the year, but it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And that's, so yes, I help coaches. I help them build out their offers. We could spend an hour talking about how to build out an offer. But we'll do that another time.
Yeah, we will, man. And ladies and gentlemen, I think the gods that be are sending us the music to tell us we got to close our mouth for the night. And so here we are, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of a very, very, very exhaustively powerful Impacting Life 24/7 episode. I have been blessed to have in our virtual studio Steve Warner. You can go to steve.how. If you just type in .how, I bet you Steve's face going to show up because he bought them all. And man, a tremendous, tremendous, really practical, I feel like we can just take what he said tonight. And if we just start there, just get started. And I would love for everyone who is an entrepreneur, you're trying to get your business, you're not seeing the results, your coaching business, your webinars, people are falling asleep or leaving them, man, get those things supercharged. How to make conversions, because a lot of times where I'm seeing is people are doing things and it's free, but they're not, you know what I mean? Your time is money. I know, and listen, it's not all about money, but if you're an entrepreneur, you're in this to make a difference and to make a living. Okay. So don't ever forget that. Sometimes when I speak for chicken dinners, I kindly remind them that chicken don't put no gas in the tank. And then the next time they have me there, they come in with a little bit different. And so, Steve, what I would like for you to do, I offer this to all of our guests to close out. I'm giving you a minute, brother. I only usually give them 30 seconds. I want you to give a word of encouragement to our entrepreneurs and speakers and all of them out there, in this tough environment. Give a word of encouragement. The floor is yours.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. If you guys are entrepreneurs, if you guys are business owners, if you guys are coaches, you guys change lives. And I know that it's a roller coaster. Like, this show has been great. I have my days where things aren't so great. I have days where I have bad clients. I have days where things go wrong as well. I also have great days. At the end of the day, we are just a speck of sand in a whirlwind of life. And a month from now, a year from now, wherever you're at right now, you're not going to remember it. What you are going to remember is how you made other people feel. You guys are here because you want to change the world. I'm going to read you a quote. This comes from the Prince, the Machiavellian Prince. Make mistakes of ambition, not mistakes of sloth. Develop the strength to do bold things, not the strength to suffer mediocrity. You guys do what you do because you feel called to do it. At the end of the day, commitment does not care how you feel. The people that you are serving do not care how you feel. You have to pick yourself up off the floor. You have to put a smile on your face, and you should, because what we do is fun. You could be working on a line job somewhere making 25 grand a year. Instead, we get to do this. So anytime that you have an ups and downs, remember, you can have an up and down anywhere. You guys are here because you want to change the world. You guys are changing the world. Even if you just impact one life today, make a difference in that person who is giving you your coffee at Starbucks, who's checking you out at the grocery store, to that person on Facebook. You made their day. Remember that.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, the man with the clarity hat that I'm going to find a way to get from him has really just spoken words of life into us. Man, I got to go back and write down those things that he said. Steve, you know, you get those guests, you get those people that you connect with. And really, that's what this whole journey has been for us. Like most of the guests that I have, many of the guests, let me say, we connect and we collaborate way outside of the podcast. And, you know, you just meet those people that you know that's like, okay, we got the same vibe, you know, brother from another mother kind of thing. And Steve Werner, Steve.Howe, I hope that you would go and connect with him. Man, he gave us some rich jewels tonight. Begin to work on them and go to his website. Man, he got some free tips. I've already signed up for a couple of his things that I'm going to steal from Steve and use them and make 25K the next event I do.
There you go.
Greg says, commitment does not care how you feel. Make somebody's day. That is so true. So true. So, Steve, thank you so much for your time, brother. I'm going to send you a Calendly link when I send you the show stuff tonight and just reschedule yourself a couple more times throughout this year. Okay, bro?
Awesome. King, it's been so great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you for being with us, man. We'll talk to you again real soon. And thank you. I'll let you out of here. Thank you for being with us, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, man, that was a powerful show. Greetings, Augie from Las Vegas. I think my man that I had on tonight was from Las Vegas. Yes, Greg, he's a professional speaker, so we definitely want to have him on Midnight Motivation. That has really turned into something that's like our little project that we're working on, man. I think Steve could come and really bring the heat for that. I got to make some adjustments to get him there because he's not sitting around waiting for people to call him. He's in high demand. So, Augie, we love you, man. Haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're doing well. I do follow you on Facebook. As you guys know, Augie is our trucker who travels all over the world, keeping supplies on the shelf. And every now and then, Augie will pop in when he's not driving and say hello. So, Greg, thank you. Thank you for all that tuned in. Thank you for all of your support. I love you guys. I think we need to say that more because let me tell you something. Life is precious, y'all. You guys mean a lot to me. Giving me the opportunity to have this platform and like people actually listen to it. I know that every night of the week that we have this show, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, it's something different. It's something new. It's something fresh. We designed it that way. I could have just had a show about juvenile delinquency, or I could have had a show about homelessness as a kid. I could have had a show singular focused, but life is not like that. Those people in New York did not know a week ago that their subways would be getting flooded. Those folks in Louisiana didn't know that life was going to come and destroy their homes. So on our show, we try to deal with things that are happening in life. And I know there are people out here in this virtual space that are trying to navigate and find their way. So we bring people on that can be an inspiration and an impact to you. That's why we do this, ladies and gentlemen. Steve.Howe, please go connect with him. And if you'd like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life to help us do what we do, our sponsorship is available. This is sponsorship season. It's open season, ladies and gentlemen. Just go to clkingspeaker.com and scroll down to the bottom and become a sponsor. Help us continue to build. This is a place where people want to come. We bring in professionals, highly performing professionals. We also bring in the common people from Joe from around the corner. We want to welcome everyone to this show, but we also want it to be a place that they want to be. We've put a lot of money and effort into putting together a professional product. A little bit ago, I was sitting back and I was listening to my friend. I was listening to him like this. And Greg is so mindful of our image and what we're presenting. He sent me a message because he's always watching the show, making sure things are right. He says, hey, uncross your arms. That sends a bad body language. And I was just sitting there chilling. But I was like, man, that's so right. We always want to present the best environment for our guests. And I hope that we added some value to Steve. They definitely have added value to us. Greg, I love you, man. You are truly just one of a kind, brother. That's why you eat at the table first. Thank you to our Impacting Life 24/7 team, Danny, Mike, Katrina, and Greg. We love you. We'll talk to you again on Monday, Open Mic Monday. We'll be back here live exclusively on Impacting Life 24/7. Have a great weekend.